How do we build trust? And since we're trying to build communities, a lot of us are connected. Every week, we're talking together, we're praying together, we're encouraging one another, we're building one another. And we want to see that grow, right? We want to see that thrive. I think that isolation is the devil's strategy. He wants every believer as possible to isolate yourself, because when you go through life and you don't have people you can call on, pray with you, encourage you, it's a hard place to be in. And so we're doing the opposite. We are pushing for community. We're pushing for this one another in the Bible, because we've seen it in the Bible. It's that 60 times. Of course, somebody said 59 last time, but I want to say 60. It's in the Bible over and over and over and over again. And we want that. We want one another experience in our lives so that God can do what he wants to do. And I know that a lot of us are connecting during the week, and it's such a blessing, but we want to make sure we stay safe. Now, hear me out very well. I'm very thankful that our church community, for the most part, is very healthy. I've seen in the past where church communities, there'll be a lot of quarrels, a lot of strife, a lot of cliques, a lot of groups, a lot of folk controlling others. How many know what I'm talking about? But for the most part, in this place, there's a lot of a sense of connection. There's no condemnation. There's no people picking on other people. It's a lot healthier, but we all know that prevention is always better than cure. Just because we're good doesn't mean we can't talk about certain things. So let me pray and we'll get into today's talk about how to build trust in community. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you today. We bless you and we honor you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are causing us to line with scripture, God. You're causing us to understand what the church was about in the early church, God. You're giving us the understanding, God. You're calling us out of isolation, Lord, into one another, into the sense of community. God, we bless you and honor you, God. We thank you that this morning you speak to our hearts, you help us by your spirit, and you receive all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. So in the attempt to build community, the first thing I want to talk about today that I think we need to visit is humility. Now, when we talk about humility, what comes to your mind? Let me get a quick show of hand. If you want to blurt out an answer, what you think humility is, let me see. Yes, I see a hand back there. What's humility?
Humbleness.
Humbleness. Okay. Yes. Yes, Rico. Selflessness. Okay. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yes, Pete.
Being able to admit you're wrong.
Okay, good. All right. So I agree with, yes, Marion.
Not self-serving,
which some as selflessness. Yes, Buck.
Having
empathy for others. Very good. Yes, Mark Nieder.
Showing no pride.
Very good. Troy.
Choosing
not to be first. That's good. I like that. Yes, Sister Viola.
Preferring
one another. Very good. I think that we have a good sense of actually what humility is. When I was looking up the word humility, this is what Webster Dictionary says, that humility is a sense of one's own unworthiness through imperfection. Now, I don't really dig that, you know, because, you know, it kind of has this negative thing to it, and unworthiness, you know, and an act of submission and or freedom from arrogance. Okay, that sounds about right. But here's the thing, because of what Webster defines dictionary is, ends up that our culture thinks humility is not something to be proud about. Our culture thinks that humility is not very sexy. You know, it's not something that you, because humility in our culture thinks you're going to be, people are going to walk all over you if you choose to be humble. People think that humility is being soft or being weak or being a doormat. And that's what our culture tells us humility is, and we find out that that's not what actually we need to look at, and as because The reason why I do a little bit of research to see what's out there, because that's what you and I deal with. When you go out there Monday through Friday, you're dealing with people who haven't been here, who don't know where the Bible is. You're dealing with the world, so it's important to know what the world thinks about what we're talking about so we can apply that in our lives. And doing the research, I came up with this psychologist. His name is David Dunning. He's a psychologist from Cornell. He did a study and wrote a journal on personality and social psychology. And he came to the conclusion that Americans have a holier-than-thou complex. Okay? That was his conclusion. Okay? And he continued to say in his research that actually the average American thinks he's better than the average American. Right? And in his study, now not only that, but in not just that study I cited, but when you read more of his paper that he wrote, he also concluded that most people begin to rank themselves higher than anybody else when it comes to intelligence, when it comes to skill, morality. They just immediately assume they're better than somebody else. We always have this superior thinking above others. Now, how many of us agree with that? You see, even in the context of us agreeing with that, or you agreeing with that, even in agreeing with that, we still believe that actually that is true about somebody else, not about ourselves. Which is the whole point of David Dunning, that we always think, okay, that is true about someone else, but not true about me. So our culture says we are going to judge you. We're going to put you on a scale. We're going to size you up. And if I'm better than you, then I'm above you. And we're not the same. And I have a spirit of thinking, I will be better than you. And so our culture will grade you, the American culture and many cultures around the world. You're going to be graded on what kind of car you drive, what kind of zip code you live in, what kind of economic status you have. You're going to be graded what kind of title you have at your job. And in some instances, you're going to be graded at the color of your skin. That is a culture we live in. And we come to Jesus sometimes and we may carry a bit of that from the world. And we find ourselves that if you come in community, you may find yourself beginning to grade others best on those things. You may find yourself beginning to evaluate other people based on the car they drive, the zip code they live in, the title they have, the jobs they have, and we begin to suddenly have this superior thinking over somebody else. This is why we have decided to say if we are going to do community, we are not doing community based on do you have the same hobbies? Do you have the same college education? Do you have the same age? Do you have this and that? Because there's a lot of times when we want to do community in Christian circles, we're like, oh, we want to make sure we put you in group as long as you have the same hobbies or you have the same this and you have the same color this. But in Christ, we are one. That should matter because in Jesus, it makes no difference what age you got, what education you got, what zip code you live in, what house you live in, what car you drive. Because in Christ, all that stuff don't matter. So as we come into community with one another, we need to make sure that we are not allowing any type of superior complex over anybody else based on what we have or what they don't have. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 through 16. It says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Think about that. That is counterculture. He died so that I don't live for myself. Now, I don't know how many times I need to hear that. Because every morning, ladies and gentlemen, I don't wake up thinking about how I'm going to live for everybody else but me. I think about me. I think about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to have, what I'm going to dress in, what looks good on me. Come on, everybody. I live many times for myself. So I don't know. I need to hear that as many times as possible, because that's scripture that he died for me, that I who live in him should no longer live for myself, but for him who died. Now, look at verse 16. It says, so from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. Think about that. Because the world says, I'm going to regard you based on the external external appearance. I'm going to judge you based on your extrinsic value. And God says, from now on, please judge nobody based on the world point of view. So that is our commandment. That is our calling, that I can't judge anybody based on anything extrinsic, anything that I see on the outside. It says, though we were once regarded in Christ this way, we do so no longer. So that is the mindset we have to have, that I'm not going to see you from a world point of view. Now, you all know, have you worked with people that kind of make sure you know they're better than you? Do you have people like that at work that you deal with? Just because they have a title, just because they're in management, just because they have a supervisor, manager thing on, they will treat you to make sure you understand they're better than you. That's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. They judge you best on that, what you have on, what designer clothes you got, what kind of toy you have. But the Bible tells us, from now on, we can't look at each other from a world point of view. Now, but in Christ, we're called that I cannot judge anybody according to the flesh. My education, my zip code, the car I drive, the clothes I put on. Not that I shouldn't put on nice clothes, but I'm saying all that shouldn't matter at all. So I want to invite you guys to a discussion right now. I'm going to ask you at your table, I'm going to ask you to read the book of Philippians. I want us to take 10 minutes at your table. I want you to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Okay? Okay, let's get together. Let's read that. And we'll continue from there. All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now we're gonna learn from each other right now. Okay? We ready? Okay, so Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, right? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourself, not looking to your own, verse 4, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. So I'd like to know from you, ladies and gentlemen, if we're the same worth, why is the Bible asking us to value others above ourselves? Because that's what he just told us. So you have a mic. If you need a mic, please raise your hand. Let's get some answers going here, some thoughts. And okay, Ariel?
Something that our table came up with as a response.
Can you turn it on, please?
It's on. It's
good. Okay.
Keep talking. We'll raise up the volume.
Okay. So we were talking about treating people differently, and MD was giving us some different examples of how, like, sometimes he's felt like maybe unintentionally he might have used a tone or it might have made someone feel a certain way, but it made him feel bad, so he had to go back and redeem himself and was like, hey, you know, my bad. So I think what I got from that and our table got from that in this question is that it helps us to remain humble. Because if we stay humble, then it helps us to not be in competition with each other or to feel that you're better. Like, if we continue to run after the next best car, the next best thing, and be the next best person, then you're going to fail and you're going to be tired. So you have to humble yourself to be where you are. And then also the Bible says not to think more highly of yourself than others, and by remaining humble helps us to esteem others and eliminate those competitions. So building up others can help us feel comfortable and secure to be who we are, rather than to have that guard up and feel like we have to compare our materialisticness or we have to compare our spiritualities. It just allows us to accept each other as who we are.
Thank you. Very good. Very good.
The way you like to be treated.
Okay, very good. Yes, Marion?
It says here in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, as Christ Jesus, rather, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. You know, and you know, it goes on, and being found in appearance as a man, he became obedient unto death. So therefore, we are to be emulating Christ, having his mind set, you know, and that he valued others. I mean, he was God, but he valued others right. more than himself.
Very good.
You know, so that's what
very good. Very good. So thank you for answering, I think, question two. Thank you. Any comment on question one before we go far? Yes, Rico.
We went over. So we wrote down, if Christ did it in the most pure form of humility, how can we not?
Right.
I mean, if he was the most pure form of humility, how could we find ourselves to be bigger than anyone else?
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it's the arrogance that we're born into and that we believe in ourselves.
Yeah.
It creates unity and community within the people of God when you're able to humble yourself for the sake of others. Then one part that was pretty powerful also that we saw, and mine read a little bit different than what Marion just read, and this, it really hit home with me. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He knew he was God, but yet he still willingly took on the form of man in its imperfection, being the only perfect being. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. But he was our God and did that. I don't know if that hits anybody else, but
right.
I'm just thinking that our God, Creator, became a bondservant to serve others, and yet sometimes we think of ourselves better than our neighbor.
Right, right.
Like, really? You know? So that was very powerful to us.
Very
almost,
good.
You'd have to,
Very good.
It just doesn't make sense.
Very good, very good. Any other comment on question one? Yes, Pete?
So, yeah, so since we're talking about it like what you just did, so let's just take a real life scenario. We have a problem with one of our neighbors. They don't know us, okay? But because they didn't like that our leaves got onto their grass or whatever, these are the common things that usually happen
right,
with neighbors.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
So then we do something to retaliate against them. Well, we don't think about it again until months later, where you say hi to them as you're walking out because you run into them. Oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm heading off to church. Well, they still have some bitterness in their heart how you treated them 3 months ago. See how those Christians act. They're not. They just go to church just to, you know, be part of the club, you know. But see, that's why we're not Christians. Mm. That's what we have to watch out for, because that's how people think.
Right.
After you treat them poorly, you don't remember it 3 months later, but they do.
Yeah.
And then your example of Christ, it gets weakened because they're already still thinking, that guy.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point.
So what they give you to do is rake your leaves? Is that... and theirs sometimes. But you got to be careful about that, too. Some people don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people don't like it when you rake
their leaves. Very good. So, based on the input we have received so far, in order to value others above myself, I gotta be willing to serve others. Because Christ, he valued us above himself when he became a born servant. So, humility means I gotta serve somebody. I gotta serve the people. I gotta serve my community. I gotta serve my brothers, my sisters on my call, on the, you know, my network, my community. I gotta serve. Having a serving attitude, I guess from what we are taking, from what we're hearing, is what humility is all about. How can I serve you? Not how could you serve me, but how can I serve you, right? Okay, and I know Marion addressed the next part here, which was verse 5, in your relationship, which is community, right? In your relationship with one another, again, as we see on the banner, we see it in the scripture, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God to be used to his own advantage. He didn't use it to his own advantage. How many know that if you wrote, I mean, according to the world, that's a very bad idea. If you have an advantage over somebody, the world says you gotta use it. That is the world wisdom. But yet, the Bible tells us Jesus had an advantage. He already had. Jesus, you know, this is what the world says. You know, and we all talked about the, you know, the whole comparison thing that we fall into. But the reason we do that by nature in the world, we want to be spiritual. So I have one up on you, right? I'm going to make sure you got an iPhone 10. I'm going to get an iPhone 11. I got to have one up on you, just one. But Jesus didn't only have one up on us. He had billions up on us. And billions, right? But yet, he didn't use it to his own advantage. And in the world, when people say, I have an advantage over you, I know more than you about this job, I'm going to use it. Or I'm better at this, I'm going to take it and use it against you. But Jesus said, the Bible says Jesus had an advantage and he didn't use it. How many times do you have advantage over other people and not use it? So that's where we make the shift. That, you know what? I got more education than you, but I'm not using it. I'm good looking, but I'm not using it. I got this, but I'm not using it. I live in a good zip code, but I'm not using it. I got more money, but I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use any advantage have over you, just as Jesus had an advantage over us and he never used it in his verse. So that's what humility is. When we, you know, Jesus, we're learning from our master. So we all here have advantages over each other in reality, but he's saying put them aside. Take your advantage that you have over each other and put it aside. If we're going to do community as God wants us to do, he's saying when you get together, you're going to have people from different classes, have different, better than this and that. You're going to come together and some are good at this and some are good at that. And when you come together, take all your advantage that you have over each other and just shove it away. Don't use it for your own advantage because it is about Christ, okay? Now, we live in a world where anybody today can go online and write anything about you. They can review a business. They can make comments about a YouTube video. They can do anything they want. And the reason why the world, when you go read any comments or any reviews, you find that a lot of times there's a lot of criticism more than a lot of praise. Why? Because the world tells you that when you get into a point of criticizing, it gives you this false sense of superiority over somebody else. So when I find that I criticize a brother, inside of me, it gives me a sense that I'm superior than you. Because if I didn't think I'm superior than you, I would not be able to criticize you. So we have to be very careful that don't run into a critical approach where you're quick to criticize, because you have to remember, anytime you criticize somebody, you're creating a false sense of superiority over that person. But we think about service. You go to a restaurant and the service is terrible and you're mad and you just want to go on Yelp and just give it to them. But you may be like, you know what? I got to be like Christ. That person is trying to make a living. I had a terrible service. I'm going to be generous in Christ. I'm still going to tip, but I'm not going to say anything. Because the world is full. There's enough people to pull that person down, to pull their business down. I don't want to be part of the person to pull them down. You have a bird service, you have terrible service, maybe you don't go back, but don't join what the world is doing, which is pulling people down. Right? So we want to be a people that build, and just, we don't want to use it for our own advantage. We want to use it for the glory of God and be people that build. Okay? Okay, let's read a few more verses here. Okay, let's read verse 6. 7, okay. Verse 7 says, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to the cross. The question that we want to think about today, what is one thing you can do this week to humble yourself? Very true. Nothing would compare to that, which is the reason why it's motivating to do something. So think about it. You know how your week is and what's going to happen, but ask yourself, what am I going to do to humble myself? Yes, you may make dinner at home, and you feel like since you made dinner, you shouldn't wash the dishes. That somebody else should do that because you made dinner. But it may be like, you know, I want to humble myself and still wash the dishes. It's hard, right? Come on, people. Let's make this practical, you know? You've been doing stuff in the house and you feel like the more you do it, you're becoming a doormat. Is that what the world says? I can't keep doing the same thing because I become the doormat. I'm the one who always have to wipe the counters down. Why doesn't nobody wipe the counters down in this house? Why is it me all the time? You feel like you're a doormat? That's what the world says. Humility is Dilma. But Jesus humbled himself, didn't he? And he still went ahead and did it. So let me ask, what if you wipe the counters down every time? It's on your flesh, doesn't it? But it's what Christ has called us to do. Myra, I see your hand up. Can you get a mic, please?
Okay, just clarification. So when you say humble yourself, what do you plan to do to humble yourself this week? It's just, how are you going to serve somebody this week is what you're asking,
is
what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
And so when you're wiping the counter down, that's the way you're serving. I'm serving this way. And so
Yes. Don't
grumble about it. Don't complain. Just
Yes. That's
how you're serving. And say, praise the Lord. Keep it moving, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you go to the bathroom and... you know, public bathroom. You know, you go down to a restaurant. The bathroom is all covered with water. How would you solve that? Get a paper towel and wipe that all down. No, it's not my job. I don't work here. Now, that is the world attitude. But you're like, you know what? I'm at this restaurant. I'm just going to wipe the counters and walk out, wash my hands. Nobody may see you, but he's seen you do that. He's seen you. He's like, you went to a restaurant and it was a mess and you cleaned up. The paper floor on it, you picked that up. Everywhere you go, you leave it better than you found it. That is service. You're like, I make a difference wherever I go. So you, we have to think about this service. This is humility. So imagine we came in our groups, in our communities, and we all thought about how to serve each other. That's what humility is. How am I going to serve the brothers on my team? How am I going to serve the sisters on my team? How am I going to serve each other? How am I going to serve you? Sometimes it's for me to be quiet and listen. Maybe sometimes for me not to give my opinion and let your opinion go and let you share. If we think about this, we'll build healthy communities where everybody is esteemed. Does that make sense? Because we're thinking about serving and we won't find ourselves criticizing each other. We won't find putting anybody down because we're building health communities, we're building trust in our communities, and we're able to serve each other for the glory of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, the scripture says he made himself nothing. In the world, if you wrote a book, How to Make Yourself Nothing, it's not going to sell. Nobody's going to buy it. But that's what Bible tells us to do. So we're so counterculture. And listen, it's going to take a lot of work. That's what we meet on Sunday, because all week long we got so much going on. And we come in and we get a little adjustment. And God changes us a little bit and helps us to become what he wants. I want to read this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Paul says, for though I am free from all, I've made myself what? Think about that. Paul says that. Who's Paul? One of the greatest men in the Bible. Who's Paul? The man that God used for 2/3 of the Bible. Who's Paul? The man who went to heaven and saw things that God told him. Okay, that's too much. There's no words to describe. Don't even tell people. It'll go over their head. Just don't say it. That Paul said, I make myself a servant. Think about Jesus. He didn't have to be a servant. But think about Paul, the greatest of all, made himself a servant. So the question is, why can I not serve? Why do I have problems serving? Why do I think I'm being taken advantage of when I'm serving others? In my house, when I take care of my house and my community and help, why do I feel I'm a doormat? Why? Maybe I need to have the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is, I make myself a servant. I humble myself and I'm going to serve others. When I read that about Paul, it blows my mind. He said he didn't make himself a servant to the elite. He didn't make himself a servant to the super apostles. He didn't make himself a servant to the most intellectual or the most wealthy. He made himself a servant to all. So he didn't go to the biggest giver in the church, say, I want to serve you. Do you know today, like, if you're the biggest giver in the church, you get special audience with the pastor. You know, they know you. Like, that's a big giver, you know. The man gets special treatment, the pastor. If you're not there, you can never meet the pastor because you don't give. But Paul said, it didn't matter. I be a servant to all. That's what humility is. That I serve others just as God has called us to serve each other. See, that's why this is important for us to remember, that we is always greater than me. We together. That's what we live for. That if we can just be together, it's better than being isolation. And I want to leave you with this thought. As Paul essentially is saying, the whole thing about all this, Paul is simply saying that we are not better than each other. We are better with each other. But in order to be better with each other, I have to be willing to serve you. And not feel in my thinking that you're walking over me, I'm being a doormat, I'm being taken advantage of. But you know what? I'm going to have this mindset of Christ that I'm going to be a servant and I'm going to humble myself. That's what the Bible tells us to do.
Well, I think the sermon has been really great for me, and the visual that came for me is like a barbecue grill and the sizzle when you, the meat that's on the grill. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt so bad this week, is what I'm thinking for myself, like just humility. Because like you said, in the business world, in the work world, if you are to make it, you also got to play politics, which pretty much teaches the opposite of this stuff. Yes. So it's like, okay, I got to do what the book says, and it's going to hurt so bad. But thank you.
I find my day job also in the same aspect of politics. One of the things that has actually helped, because it is true, and there's a lot of pressure on it as far as being... that you have to take a position sometimes. So one of the things that I have found being helpful for myself that I've actually been learning is this, those that are even in higher positions than myself, when I look at people like my boss and their bosses and executives and with that, I've actually came to a place in my life where I don't want anything from them. And I mean that in the most respectful way. I am not looking to gain anybody's, to gain any approval, I'm not looking for an avenue to, I want to be promoted on this end, or I got to say the right thing over here because I want you to look at me in a different light over here. I can't be intimidated if you can't be intimidated if you don't want something from somebody. It's really true, and I'm learning that today. And there's times I will take stances on certain things, and I'll do it with the utmost respect. I really will. I'll do it with the utmost respect. If I'm asking, when I'm being told that I got to follow policy, of course you follow policy, and that's very important to do such a thing. But as far as being leaned and pushed and pressured and anything that's going to compromise who you are and who God has called you to be, really take that step back. And I'm sure a lot of you guys do it before you walk into your day job. I'm hoping that you're spending that time before you walk in there and you're not going in winging it. That is something that you're not called to do. You do not do that. As a man or woman of God, you're never called to wing life, especially when you're in a career spot, because you are representing something greater than yourself. And I have failed a truckload, but I am learning. So maybe I touched on it on a second, Pastor, but that's about all I could really comment on that.
Yeah, and a quick comment. If not many people are serving out there, don't you think you'll stand out if you are the one who serves?
I think... the best thing to do, you know. I always have reality checks. You know, I just tell, you know, I try to treat people the way I like to be treated. I try to do things for people the way I want them done for myself. That always keeps me humble. It always keeps me on the same page. You know, it's just that somebody had to show me what to do, you know. So for me to show somebody else what to do, I don't have no problem with that, because I count my blessings that somebody took the time to show me. So why can't I just take 2 minutes to show this person? Can I show this person every day of the week? Probably not. But I will show you where the water is. You know, it's up to you to drink it. Nice. You know what I mean? It's just, I used to be selfish like that. I'd be like, man, this guy, he don't never, Jesus. You know, because I run a clean and sober house, man. And I said, this guy, man, he ain't trying to get it. He ain't going to meetings. He ain't trying to change his life. You know why? You know, I used to get mad. I used to say, man, you know, I tell you, I can't put you out the house, you know, for not going to meetings, but I can ride you for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Until you get the hang of this, man. I tell people all the time, if you don't want to do nothing different, you ain't going to get nothing different. You know? So you got to stay focused and try to do stuff different for yourself as well as others. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be rewarded. I don't look for trophies and certificates no more and say, oh, MD, man, you helped this guy. You know, because I already realized somebody had to help me. So I'm just giving back what was freely given to me. Thank you.
It was too good and it was too big to pass it by. There was a scripture that we didn't spend much time on. That was earlier, but whatever it was, I guess maybe still Philippians 16, but it was when it was verse 16. I didn't get to catch the exact. But it was a scripture that said, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And that one's I've been meditating on, kind of chewing on for a while. Because I always think back when you know, Jesus was ministering. Imagine he ministered a few times to people who were kind of grotesque, you know, or they, was it leprosy, right? I mean, can you just imagine looking at someone and just like, okay, I'm imagining me doing it, right? But, you know, all of us might have that feeling. And then Jesus said this scripture, we're to regard no man in the flesh. So I always have now renewed my mind to say, you know, Jesus is looking at the potential of that unborn person, that person who's yet not born again. And going back to that timeline, I still love that timeline of that big long rope.
Yeah.
You know, with just a little tiny bit of the red part that shows life right now.
Yes.
You know, so do we value people? Do we value people because eternity is such more important? I'm going to go ahead and talk to that person, regardless of what they look like on the outside or smell like or anything else.
Right, right.
So we regard no person from the outside appearance so that we can minister to them.
Yes. Good motivation. Good motivation. Okay, yes.
Just quickly, I thank you for teaching this today, because I was kind of like in La La Land and then everything just jumped onto me and it all fell together.
So let's outserve each other, because that's a godly thing to do. You know, you don't want to be in community like, yeah, that was a good message. People, serve me. Serve me, people. Pastor said, serve me. No, you got to think about, no, I don't need people to just serve me. I need to serve others, because, you know, that's not what I'm saying. It's always good to clarify. People will be like, oh, yeah, that was a great message, man. I'm going to go home. People serve me. They were there today. They had the message. No, let's serve each other, right? Let's not wait on anybody else to serve us. Amen. Let's outserve each other. Let's humble ourselves. Yes. That's it.